Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back. We are live here on The Drive. Shout out to Robert Flores for joining us and giving us his thoughts on the Framber Valdez situation and the Astros overall. It is game week, and it is a Wednesday. That means that D'Amico Ryans is speaking to the media. Let's head out to NRG right now and hear from the head coach.
Derek Verse is a very exceptional player. Plays the game the right way. Plays with a relentless motor, physical. Does a really nice job being disruptive, making negative plays in the backfield. Tell the guy has a passion for football, high energy, makes a lot of plays, gets their group going. See him as definitely the best guy of that group. So for us to have success on Sunday, we have to make sure we have eyes on number 8 at all times.
What do you think corner defensive play callers do to confuse younger offensive linemen or offensive linemen who are a little inexperienced? Are there things that they can do with play calls or schemes or disguises that make it tougher for offensive linemen?
That's up to the coordinator, whatever they feel, whoever they deem that they can confuse, that'll be up to them. I can't think for the other coordinators and how they do it. Everybody has their own way of how they call the game and what they want to do, where their group, where they feel strong about their group. So it's up to them and how they call it.
What was the energy like having C.J. Gardner-Johnson back in practice?
Yeah, the energy has been good. C.J.'s been back for a few days now, so the energy has been good. It's just a matter of getting him back into, football, just doing the communication, being where we're supposed to be, just making sure everybody's on the same page. It just takes time getting back to that, and he's done a really good job of just fitting right back in and rolling with the communication. So we're excited to have him back.
You have a lot of great players on your defense, but what do you think is the biggest strength of that unit?
The strength of our defense is just all 11 guys playing together. Right, it's never about one person. It's not about one unit. It's about all 11 guys playing together. When we play defense the right way, all 11 guys being exactly where it's supposed to be, that makes us a good defensive unit. If one guy is off, then we're not as good. So it's always a strain mentally and physically to make sure everybody's on the same page doing what they need to do for us to be a successful unit. That's playing together, swarming together. That's the only way we operate.
When it comes to defending Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams as a tandem, when you have corners like yours, how much easier does the job become, or if at all, when you have the kind of corners you have?
Yeah, Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams, two talented, big-time playmakers. Like, they're going to find ways to get these guys to football because we know they're great with the ball in their hands. They can make you miss. They can hit explosives down the field. Everything you want from a receiving standpoint, both guys are able to do that. So for us, it's going to be a collective effort. It's not about one corner covering one guy. It's about collectively, like, how are we going to stop these guys as a defense? They're going to move guys around all over the place. So we just have to be on it. We have to make sure we're urgent with our communication, urgent with our eyes and alignments to make sure we're on it, we're dialed in of where guys align and what they're trying to do to us, how they're trying to attack us. If we play the game the right way, everybody is on it, then we'll be just fine.
There's been a lot of talk about, obviously, the offensive line, dating back to last year up until now. There's been a lot of changes. What's just your overall confidence level going into week one against a stout defensive line?
Yeah, for our offensive line, we'll see. There's been questions all offseason about our offensive line. Everybody wants to know who's going out there. Who is this guy, this position, that position. It's just a lot of talk that I'm tired of talking about it. Like, it's time to go play, and let's see how our five matches up against a really great defensive line. And that's what we'll see on Sunday. Let's see how it all plays out.
With their running back, Kyron Williams, late-round guy that's established himself over the past couple of years, what have you seen from him, and what does he do well presents a challenge?
Yeah, Kyron, man, he has great contact balance. You see guys, you see him make guys miss consistently. Like, he is always going forward, playing a really physical ball, but we have to swarm and wrap tackle him. Like, he makes a lot of guys miss. That really jumps out on the tape for me. Like, if you're one-on-one in the hole, he does have the ability to really, make you look silly if you allow him. So it's going to take everybody running to the football, straining how we strain, playing physical, because one guy is not getting him down all the time. And all these guys, they strain. Puka, Kyron, like if one guy's there, they are straining to get extra yards. They're always fighting to get extra yards. So they play it the right way, man. So it's a challenge all the way across the board. It's going to be a 60-minute challenge, and we're up for it.
C.J. Gardner-Johnson back, and you said, you know, he's getting himself worked back into football shape as well, being back in practice. Will he be a full go? Is he on a snap?
Yeah, C.J. is good to go. When I'm talking about getting back into it, it's just when you're on the side, it's getting back into making calls, making checks, all those things that have to deal with playing football, right? When guys are out with injury, you focus on the rehab process and working on whatever specific body part that you're trying to rehab. Then there's this whole introduction back into football, right? And things move a lot faster and just being on it. But he stepped back in since last week. He's been out there. He stepped back in. He's done a nice job of just working the communication, what we expect from him, right where he picked up.
What are the biggest challenges that Matthew Stafford presents from a defensive coach's POV?
Yeah, Stafford has, man, done it exceptionally well for a long time. There's nothing you're going to do to confuse him from a defensive coach's perspective. He's seen it all. He's played against every type of coverage you want to run. He's done it. He's been successful. So not trying to surprise him or fool him. Like, we got to be where we're supposed to be and just play sound.
To follow up on that, when you mentioned that you can't really confuse a veteran like that, how much does that, you know, factor into how you game plan for that quarterback?
Yeah, we're going to do what we do. That doesn't change. It's how well do we do what we do. It's about the Texans playing well. That's what this game is about. The Rams, they can do whatever they want to do. They have a lot of different looks, a lot of different motions, a lot of different play actions off of the runs. It'll all marry up and look the same. They really do a great job of making everything look exactly the same. So for us, it's just going to be about us just playing our brand of football. Everything that we've worked throughout training camp, that's what we'll fall back to, the training that we've had all throughout training camp. That's what it's for.
Let's get a look at the new offense this week. How much does it help to know and just have the connection established between C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins? And how have you seen that grow in this third year?
Yeah, C.J. and Nico, they've been rolling at this for a while. 3 years rolling, they know what to expect from each other. They do a great job of working off to the side, communicating after plays, after they're done, just making sure like they're dialed in on being exactly right. And they're two really great pros, two guys who are captains for our team. Like, they have a ton of respect from our locker room, and it shows by the way those guys work at their craft. That's why they're good on Sundays.
You are listening to Texans head coach D'Amico Ryans live from NRG.
McVay's obviously moved guys inside, outside. What kind of challenge does that present for a defense with your eyes before the snap, with guys lining up in different places?
When guys are lining up in different places or moving all over the place, if you allow it to distract you, it will distract you. If your eyes are right and you're where you're supposed to be, then it really shouldn't matter to me. Like, it's about us and doing what we're supposed to do. But when guys emotion, you see it on tape consistently, it can distract guys, right? And that's why offense is motion so much. That's why the motion percentage has skyrocketed over the past 5 years, because of the motions and the problems that it presents to defenses, whether that's showing your hand in coverage or getting guys to look in the wrong place and the offense are able to have productive plays. So it's just about how disciplined are you defensively. The most disciplined defenses handle the motions well, and it doesn't affect them much.
D'Amico, throughout camp and leading up to the opener now, what stood out about your tight end group, and what do you want to see out of this group now that the new season?
Hey, great question, Randy. The thing that stood out the most about our tight end group is just them blocking at the line of scrimmage. That feel like there's a drastic difference in the way that they're blocking at the line of scrimmage, and it's markedly improved, and I'm excited to see it, you know, again in real action. But they've done a really nice job of working at that. Coach Moreland, Coach Kaylee has done a really good job of working with those guys. And also, what's stood out to me is also our tight ends, I'm sorry, at the top of their routes. They're doing a really nice job of really working to get open at the top of their routes, their break points. You can see a difference there. So I think our guys do better at the line of scrimmage and also better with their route running.
Like,
you asked a little bit about Nico and CJ earlier, but with Nico, you know, he was named the captain. Is that the area where you've seen him grow most this offseason?
I think Nico is just – he continues to not impress me just with how much he's grown as a pro. Like, from when I first got here to where he is now, you see the growth in the young man. And it just shows for anybody, like, if you're dialed in, if you want to get better, if you want to improve and you do those things necessary to improve, you can't do that. Nico is a great example of that, like the respect that he's gotten from his teammates to be a captain. It shows by the way he shows up and works every single day. Every day of training camp, he's out there, one of our hardest workers, one of our most productive players. It's because of the mindset that he has. And I'm proud to be here working with Nico and very proud of the growth that he's shown.
Can you talk about the offensive group and their buying into the swarm? Are you seeing more of that? You know, you talked about it, seeing it. Wanted it across the board. Have you seen that as you get ready to start the season more?
For their offense and their swarm mentalities, that it's showing up a lot more. I've seen it throughout training camp some days. Kim, I really want to see it in the games. And now it's time to let's see what it's all about. Collectively as a team, can we go out and swarm? And that's just playing together, playing tough, playing physical, playing fast. And that's all three phases. And I'm excited to see that on Sunday.
We're going to close with DJ, Christy, Summer.
It seems like CJ throughout this offseason been a little, I guess, more low-key, has kind of stayed out of the spotlight a little bit. How much do you think that can help a quarterback as going into pivotal year three, just about, you know, just, I guess, keeping the main thing, and not in the spotlight per se? How much do you think that can help a young quarterback?
It's important for me, for all of our guys, to keep the main thing. Every year is a pivotal year. Every year is an important year. It's about how you attack it. You attack it with the right mindset. Like, and sky's the limit for you, right? And so I think CJ has done a great job this offseason. I mean, he's dialed in. He's ready to roll. And I'm excited to see him on Sunday.
You've talked a lot about Nick Chubb throughout camp and how impressed you are with him, but how eager are you to see him in a real game for your team?
Yeah, Nick won't surprise me in the game. I know what I'm going to get from Nick Chubb. Right? He's a guy I watched for a long time. He's done it at a high level for a long time. Ton of respect for Nick and how he plays the game. I don't expect to see anything different on Sunday. I expect to see a physical running back who's going to gain positive yards every time he touches the football.
You were hinting at the fact that you can't wait for people to stop talking about the offensive line and just go out there and just play. From the sense of what you've got from that group, how much have they taken that, and how much are they so excited to just run through somebody on Sunday?
We'll see. We will see. I can talk about it all day, but I tell the guys all the time, man, it's when that ball is kicked off, all the talk, all the hype, like, it doesn't matter. Like, what are you going to do when that ball is kicked off? I want to see, so we call the silent tape. What does that say about you? How are you finishing every play? How are you swarming? The silent tape will speak very loudly for all of our guys. So you show up by what you put on tape. So I'm excited to see what our tape is going to say when we're flying back home, you know, Sunday evening.
Coach, you all selected your captains. Can you just talk about them as a collective group as far as what they bring to not only to this team but to each other as well?
I'm very proud of the group that our team has selected as captains. Right? Those five guys that we selected, Dare, CJ, Nico, Aziz, and Will, they represent everything that the Houston Texans are all about. Right? And it's the first thing first is they're team first guys. Like, they're not about themselves. They're about the well-being of the team. They're about making sure their teammates are heard or taken care of. Like, the teammates respect these guys. The teammates have their ears. So I'm just very thankful. It's not an offense, defense, special team. Like, we voted. It's just who is the captain. Who do you guys want as captains of our team? It wasn't a a position group or a side of the ball type thing. So it was really cool to see, you know, the way our guys voted. I would have voted the same. So, no, it's really cool to see, especially a guy like Dare, like guy who's been at it for a long time, right? And, I mean, I can't think of another guy that's more consistent than Dare. He shows up every single day working, being where he has to be, communicating well, helping out our young guys, just being an outstanding teammate. So I was very proud to see when the vote came in that Dare was able to you know, crack the top of the board and get a vote. Very proud of him for everything that he means to our team. All right, thank you, guys.
All right, thank you, Coach. That is DeMeco Ryans live there from NRG speaking to the media. Coming up here in the bottom of the hour, Clint, we will hear from the quarterback, C.J. Stroud. But a lot there from him. And, hey, Jarrett Verse mentioned him specifically. Got to make sure we know where number eight is. That's two days in a row. Or Monday and now Wednesday, we're hearing from him talking about that matchup.
Yeah, look, hearing him talk about Jarrett Verse, obviously, and then hearing Nick Caserio this morning on Payne and Pendergast, yep, talking about all five of the D linemen that they can roll out there being one of the best overall groups, one through five in the entire NFL. I mean, that's high praise coming from Nick Caserio, and definitely high praise coming from DeMeco Ryans. And when you look at this offensive line, which understandably so, if anybody should understand why he's being asked about the offensive line, it's DeMeco Ryans. I mean, you go back to the last press conference, that post-game presser that he had, he was pretty adamant about fixing the offensive Absolutely. Line from the inside out. And so I don't think it's any secret why DeMeco Ryans has been asked a million times about his offensive line. It's because it's the biggest – the biggest wild card, I think, in the Texans organization right now as it pertains to being able to get to the AFC Championship and potentially compete for a Super Bowl. And so we'll see, man. We will see exactly what they're made of this Sunday. I think it is a great matchup. I disagree with DeMeco and Nick, and I can't remember which one exactly said it, from a standpoint of, like, I don't think anybody on this defensive line with the Rams is, like, as good as the league has to offer. I think Jarrett Verse is really good, but we're talking Chris Jones, we're talking about Simmons, we're talking about the great big interior defensive lineman that can just wreak havoc. We're talking about a pair like the Texans have coming off the edge every single day. I don't know that I have Jarrett Verse in those conversations, but one through five as a whole, unbelievably solid, talented defensive front that's going to challenge this offensive line. And we'll see what they're all about.
All right, that's Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Let's do a little stock up, stock down as we continue. C.J. Stroud coming up at the bottom of the hour, but stock up, stock down, the position that C.J. plays. We'll look at quarterbacks. That's next.
Every season brings highs.
I'm in my drop top, cruising the streets.
And lows.
No way, because I know one of you two ass would have done the same thing that I just did.
Are you kidding me?
This trio always has eyes on the market in H-Town. It's time to buy or sell. It's stock up.
The arrow's pointed up.
Stock down.
They're selling, Mortimer.
On the Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. Every Wednesday, right here on Houston's number one afternoon drive sports talk program, that'd be The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. We do a little stock up, stock down. You just heard the live press conference from head coach DeMeco Ryans last segment. You're going to hear quarterback C.J. Stroud's press conference for today next segment at about 3:40. But in between, we're doing a little stock up, stock down. And today talking NFL quarterbacks.
Starts tomorrow, baby.
That's right. Football's back. Let's go.
I knew he cannot respond without going up above.
You get me hyped, bro. You get me hyped. But we are looking at quarterbacks around the NFL for this week's stock up, stock down. Well, something old Dirty Red Clint Sterner should know a little some about. So let's start with you, Dirty Red. You former NFL quarterbacker, you former Dallas Cowboy, are you?
What's going on here?
I'm just feeling good, man. We're thriving on a Wednesday. We got a lot of good stuff going on. Clint, stock up for you as far as quarterbacks go heading into week one of this NFL season?
I'm going to go with Baker Mayfield. I personally have liked Baker Mayfield more than most over his years. I personally felt like he got railroaded by being in Cleveland. You know, the Carolina deal didn't go as planned. He got a little run at L.A. That kind of revived his career. Then he gets down to Tampa. He obviously puts up good numbers and wins games and gets his guys into the playoffs. But I know over the last couple of years where we've been tracking kind of C.J. Stroud, the different rankings and the conversations around top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL, I'll be honest with you, man. I think it's deserved, but I'm shocked at the love that Baker Mayfield gets when it comes to top 10 quarterbacks around the pro football. I'll be honest with you. I don't, every time I pull a list up, I do not expect to see him on that list.
He's down to the back half.
What's that?
He's down to the back half of it. He's at the 9 or the 10 yeah. range.
Always. Oh, I thought you meant back half of the league. I was thinking,
no,
damn.
Back half of the top 10. Yes. Yeah, he's always there.
He's in that 8, 9, 10 range every time, Ron. And you look up and I saw the NFL, I think NFL.com maybe, I don't even know what the report was, but it was quarterbacks in tiers. And he's in tier 2 quarterbacks. I mean, again, I think it's well-deserved. I think he's won games. I think he's put up big numbers. I just do not expect to see Baker Mayfield on these lists when I see it, how often I see it, where I see it. And so I got to go right now. All the guys for me around the league, man, the stock being up on Baker Mayfield is surprising. But again, it's good to see.
Finished 11th in the MVP voting last year.
Yeah.
He's now year 3. We'll see what he is without his coordinator, who is now in Jacksonville.
Liam Cohen.
Yeah, Liam Cohen. But yeah, Baker Mayfield.
Old crotch-grabbing Baker for mm-hmm. Clint Sterner. All right, over to you, Ron. The show, Hughley. Stock up for you as far as NFL quarterbacks are concerned heading into week 1.
Yeah, I almost picked the guy that was up on the screen earlier in Caleb Williams. Not quite ready to pull the trigger on that yet, but speaking of Liam Cohen, I like Trevor Lawrence to his stock to go up this year. I think we get a bounce back year from Trevor Lawrence. Don't know what that will result in terms of wins for the team, but right now I think Trevor is at best at the back end of the top half of the league, like the 16-17 range, not at all where he was expected to be, and now he's already gotten paid. Brian Thomas Jr. is a great weapon. Shut up, Ocho. And then you get Travis Hunter added to it, and we just watch what Liam Cohen just did with your guy, Baker, who you just spoke up. And you would believe he should have better people around him this year. So I like Trevor Lawrence to bounce back and his stock up right now.
Duval.
Stock ups out of the way. You are tuned into The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. This is Stock Up, Stock Down every hump day right around 3:30 p.m. And we're talking quarterbacks today ahead of week 1 coming up very, very shortly. Football's back tomorrow. Back to you, Clint. Stock down in terms of NFL quarterbacks ahead of week 1.
Well, this one's interesting for me, and this has come to light recently. I got to go with Dak Prescott.
I just don't know what to do with him.
But Ron, we're talking stock here, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the Cowboys trade Micah Parsons, and it seems like everybody forgets that they've got the highest paid wide receiver, or one of, I'm sorry, I don't know, I guess there's been a couple of guys, Jamar and a couple of guys maybe got some money since, but they got one of the highest paid wide receivers in football. Definitely one of the most productive wide receivers in pro football. And you got a $60 million quarterback. And there's not even a, the response across the board with the Cowboys is they ain't serious about winning a championship. They can't win without Micah. You got a $60 million quarterback. And not only that, Dak Prescott's catching hell. I heard Stephen A. Smith talking about he should have threw his power around more with Jerry in a sense of keeping Micah Parsons. It's wild, man. But like Dak Prescott being a $60 million man that has won a lot of regular season games, has put up big numbers, being counted out because there's no Micah Parsons, which, by the way, the Cowboys defense was 30 or worse in every category, not every category, but major categories other than sacks. They were third. The only thing they did worth a damn was sack the quarterback. And you get rid of Michael Parsons, and all of a sudden Dak can't win a Super Bowl. So, I I'm not saying he could before, but damn, if I'm paying my quarterback $60 million, I got to believe I got a good chance of winning my conference and getting into the playoffs and winning some games. So I got to go with Dak Prescott of stock being down.
And it's weird. They go and get Tyler Booker. A lot of people like that pick to shore up, help with the offensive line. George Pickens is the other receiver they have on the team. Yeah. Ferguson's a good tight end. I don't know. We'll see. They drafted a left tackle last year. We'll see. I just don't know what to do with him. I really don't.
That in itself is stocked down, right? Guy, as you've said multiple times, hell, he's been in the tops in the MVP voting
last time he was healthy, he finished second.
Yeah.
Yep, they're stocked down for Clint Sterner because it is a circus. It's an ish show up Highway 45 for the Dallas Cowboys. You love to see it. Over to you, Ron, the show. Put a lid on this thing for us. Stocked down for NFL quarterbacks ahead of week one.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to fall off the map, but he has been fantastic the last 2 years. His numbers would say elite quarterback, although I don't think anybody says it for him. But I'm going to go Jared Goff. I think Jared Goff stock down. I think he takes a step back. I think they got a lot of talent around him. But, I mean, Ben Johnson, he's been really, really good when he's had Sean McVay and then Ben Johnson and his coordinator. Loses Ben Johnson.
By the kneecap off.
I think people now know exactly what they're dealing with the Lions. I don't think he's going to fall off the map. But I don't think Jared Goff is going to be. He was the MVP conversation. I don't think Jared Goff is going to be like that over the next 2 years. So I think losing his OC, I go stock down Jared Goff. Right there. Stock down.
Well done, Wolf on Wall Street.
That's all right. Yeah, he'll be good, but not what he has been. All right, coming up, let's hear from CJ Stroud, the quarterback. We'll hear from him and get his thoughts as he's at NRG coming up next right here live on the Drive.
Stroud House.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Well, I'll tell you who's back. It is CJ Stroud, and let's head to NRG and hear from your quarterback as he speaks to the media ahead of game one against the Rams.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Back to Cali, and obviously it's a business trip, but what do you think some of the feelings will be like playing close to home?
I'm excited, you know. Got some family and stuff coming to the game and friends. And so, yeah, I'm super excited, but, yeah, just got to stay focused.
I'm excited for you to kick off year three. Just in terms of what you've learned as you've been here these last few years, what does this year feel like?
It's every first game of every year. You're excited to show your talent and what the new guys and the new stuff you learn, the new scheme. It's a bunch of different feelings, but I'm really just excited to play again. I'm tired of watching, so yeah, I'm just excited to play. I don't really feel a huge difference, but yeah, just natural jitters and nervousness from just a new season. So yeah.
Jason, it's another year for you working with Nick and Nico as well. Where have you guys developed on your chemistry taking it into a new season together?
Just staying on the same page on a lot of things, growing in areas where we really didn't connect last year or we haven't tried to do certain things. So I'm just trying new things and working out some of the things that we struggled at. So it's growing.
In what ways do you feel like this new scheme fits your skills and maybe some of your other teammates' skills better this year?
It's a lot of different ways. I feel like a lot of times in the NFL, from what I've learned, is like a lot of coaches or teams try to make like the player fit the scheme instead of the scheme fitting the player. And I think that's it's sometimes a good thing because you get to challenge yourself to try new things. But also I think, you know, you should come in and try to have the scheme fit the players in a way. Just because, you know, like there's some certain guys are really good at X, Y, and Z, not good at A, B, and C. And I think like there's a balance you need to have to like challenge yourself to try new things, but also doing things that, you know, you're already naturally good at. So this offense does a good job at that of like trying to or doing things that guys are naturally good at, but also challenging to try new things. So, yeah.
CJ, what have you seen from Nick Chubb since he got here, and what do you like most about him as a player?
I've seen just him put in work, and he's very motivated, you know, to get back on the field. And I'm very happy for him that, you know, he's, you know, battled through a lot in his life through this game of football. And, you know, he's never wavered. He's always worked hard. And you can just see by his approach. And, I mean, he's just exciting to watch, man. He does a really good job of setting up blocks and running behind his pads, being powerful. You know, I think he's a very underrated pass catcher, and, you know, he does a good job in pass protection and things like that. So, yeah, he's polished a lot of his different things, but also, you know, I think he's very motivated to play.
What's the biggest difference for you going into year three compared to when you're going into year two?
Kind of like I told Cam, I don't feel a super big difference. I think the game has slowed down even more. Probably what I can say is, like, just operation, defensive schemes, how to throw certain passes against certain looks. And so, like, just things like that, coverage awareness, blitz awareness. But, yeah, I really don't feel like anything, like, super different. But, yeah, I definitely just feel better. Like, I'm more seasoned, and, you know, I can kind of try to expect things, but I don't think expecting this league is good in a lot of ways. It sometimes is good, but, yeah, I just try to be prepared.
Did you see the growth of the offensive line? And obviously people talked a lot about them, and they've been working hard to get to the level you hope for against the Rams, the challenge of their front seven.
Yeah, I think, you know, one thing about this group that I'm really proud of is that, man, they're dogs, man, from left to right, up and down, no matter the age or the position. I think everybody, you know, that we got up there loves to play. And plays really hard. The effort is there, and yeah, I think got a great challenge. You know, this D line is really good. You know, starting to reverse. You know, he's really, really good and really strong, powerful. There's different type of rushes. Good in the run game. 55, 91, 0. Really, all of them are really good. So yeah, I think this is a great challenge for us. And you know, those guys they know that, and they're preparing. So you know, I think it's gonna be a great battle.
Before, your respect for Matt Stafford, are there certain elements of his game that really stick out, or is it just an all-encompassing respect for how he approaches things?
I like his game, yeah. I mean, he does a good job of anticipation, no-look throws, moving guys with his eyes, coverage recognition. I think he can put the ball in any spot at any time from any arm angle. Does a good job with bad pockets is what something I've watched too. Like, so yeah, he does a lot of great things, and yeah, he's a really good player.
CJ, what's it been like for you and the team to see CJ Gardner-Johnson back on the field after kind of a scary moment in West Virginia this week?
Yeah, it's dope, man. His presence is always felt. He's also heard a lot, so it's good, man. We need that type of energy, and he does a good job of bringing that juice and that energy and that swag to our defense and our team. So very happy that, you know, he's all right and he's back.
You are listening to CJ Stroud's Wednesday press conference live from NRG.
Because he's at home. Is there somebody special maybe to help you grow to be where you are that normally will not come to the stadium or will not travel, that it's going to be on the stands Sunday?
I see my friends and family a lot, so I don't know. Probably all of them. Yeah, I would say all of them. I'm really excited to, especially people, like you said, don't come to Houston. They're able to come to the game, and I think it's pretty dope. So, yeah, I'm really excited just to see my friends and family. Yeah.
Going back to Nico, it seems like, you know, look at the top QBs, they have go-to guys. Looking back on that, how has he helped you in your development, just having a guy that you trust and rely on and connection that you guys have?
Yeah, any great quarterback, I think in the history of the game, you go back to if not one, multiple guys, you know, they can lean on, and, you know, they have that natural connection with. And, you know, my career so far has been Nico, you know, Tank, and, you know, I think those two guys have really been the ones that I've really been around the most and been able to – I got you. I messed with you. But, yeah, he's been that guy. So, yeah, I'm very – you know, grateful for him and just how he approaches the game and how he takes care of his body and you know, he does a good job of a lot of different ways. You know, he's captain this year, so, you know, that his leadership is something that I challenged him on, that grew. So he's challenging himself, which I think is dope, because in that position, you know, you can't get complacent. And I think he's done a good job of pushing his limits on what how much better he can really get.
Did you notice, like, hey, this guy is always open?
From the first day I got here. Yeah. I told him I'd be doing him a discourtesy if I didn't make him a superstar. It was one of our first conversations. I don't know. I've always kind of had that mindset since I've been in, like, middle school. It's like I want to make my receivers look really good and make it easy on them. For me, that's, like, anticipation, accuracy, timing. And because a lot of times guys are open. Quarterbacks are just late or throw bad balls. So it's my job to do that. So I don't know. We had that conversation when I first got here. And I seen the way he moved, how big he was, how fast he was. And yeah, he looked like somebody like I don't want to give y'all a word. I'll put it on Twitter or something. So I'll leave it alone.
Can you talk about the captains this year that you guys selected, especially a guy like Darway, who's been, as Coach says, consistent for years? Talk about your group.
Yeah, if anybody deserves it, it's him. You know, he's always smiling. His energy's always felt. He's always making plays. He's always here on time and, you know, leading guy. So, yeah, he's the definition of, like, I think the type of player Coach, you know, wants to bring in every year. So, I think this year of captains is kind of that, is, like, the guys, I think they wanted this team to be brought – to build up on is, you know, guys who are selfless, who want to be, who want to be servants, and you want to see everybody do better, but also, you know, does the right things in the building. Has the right attitude, and I think everybody displays that except for me.
Going back to the go-to guy, you've gotten on the same page with a lot of receivers going back to Ohio State. What's the trust process, like developing trust for some of the new guys that you might have this year, and how much of that do you actually have to play games for that to begin?
Yeah, I know it's kind of weird, but I would say, like, failure is probably the best way to get that done in ways. Like, throwing a ball, like, even now, me and Nico sometimes don't connect, and that there's good things because now we can have a conversation. So when sometimes it's in practice, like it's, when it's too perfect, which is also a goal, sometimes it could not be good because in the game it's not going to be exactly how we draw it up or the scout guys give it to us. So I think sometimes, like, having hard conversations are like, bro, you need to be better here. I need to be better there. So I think that has to do with it. And yes, playing in games definitely does help.
CJ,
you want to go?
You can go.
Okay. What have you learned from Jerry, and how might have he have helped you?
From Jerry?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Jerry's amazing, man. He's somebody who is very vocal, challenging. You know, he's very old school. He reminds me like a long lost, like, uncle, just how, like, he approaches how he coaches. And I think he's done a great job of, preparing not only myself, but Davis, Keaton, when we had Keaton and Graham. So I thought he's done a great job of, challenging us to push other guys and also push ourselves to, you know, be great.
CJ, do you remember how you were feeling before your NFL debut? And if so, how much better do you feel now with the experience you have under your belt?
The only difference is the uncertainty is, like, other than that, I'm still nervous. I'm still like questioning myself. I think those are all good things. Now if you let it, like, be negative, then I don't think it is, but, I think that's a blessing for me. I look at it as a blessing because, like, I'm still excited to play this game and, be great, and hold myself to a certain expectation and standard. So I'm very excited. The only difference is, just now I kind of know not exactly what to expect, but somewhat on, like, how the game could or might go.
It seems like you're going to have more responsibility in your play for, you know, checking protection, sometimes, you know, being able to audible a little bit more. How much does that new challenge excite you going into your third year?
It excites me a lot. Like I told y'all before, it's just something that I'm kind of used to. I mean, I've done it a lot in college and high school. And yeah, it's new now in the NFL, but I don't know. I think our coach has done a really good job of making it vanilla, you know, and trying their best to not only just leave me out to dry, but give me tools and things to have, weapons to combat the defense when, you know, they run a good coverage or do so. Just like it's the coach's job, you know, to call good plays and coach us the right way, it's also my job to have their back and just sometimes save the day and, you know, do the right things to get us in the right look. So I'm very excited for that.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
That's Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud, post-practice presser. It is a Wednesday. We get players today. Boy, it's been a busy day on Sports Radio 610. Nick Caserio joined Payne and Pendergast. D'Amico Ryans was on here after practice. C.J. Stroud. Press conference right here after practice. We got a lot to sift through here. I think here's the deal. Look, the Texans, they've got one. There's one big storyline that is just significantly bigger than any and everything else that we can talk about with the Houston Texans. It's the offensive line. Nick Caserio hit on a couple of topics that, you know, we'll see what happens when rubber meets the road. But in theory, these two things, these two individuals that Nick Caserio spoke about this morning on Payne and Pendergast, I think are going to play a huge role in whether the Texans are Super Bowl contenders or not. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.